step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back on Steelers Touch Down Under. I'm Matt Peverell and I'm joined by my co-host Mark Davison. Thank you for joining us for part two. If you did miss out on part one, please go back and have a listen to it, where we look back at last week's matchup against the Cleveland Browns. The title of this week's show, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Mark, it doesn't get much bigger than Derrick Henry.
No, he's a big unit. What is he, 100 and... Oh, I'm not too sure about pounds, 140 kilos, 130 kilos. Is it that big? No, maybe not.
He's 247 pounds. So we're looking at it like what? Like about 112-ish kilos.
That's still pretty massive. Like he is a player that you wish you had for your team. Imagine if we had a Derrick Henry, if he was on the Steelers.
Oh, without a doubt. Like
we wouldn't lose. We would never lose.
Well, how could you with Ben? Like we talked about the Bill Cowher offense in part one. Like, As Mike Tomlin said, he had, you know, he's a human highlight reel. You know, he has world-class sprinter speed. Now, I don't know what world-class sprinter speed means per se, but like, we're talking like, you know, you're saying Bolt kind of like speed, or what are we talking about? But he's a big man, as you said, like 6'3" running back. Like that's a big running back.
Yeah, he's part of their offense. That's why the Titans are using. That's why they're doing. They're pretty similar to what they're starting to with their organization. They've got Tannehill giving him a second chance now. But they've got to feed Derrick Henry. And this is going to be a great matchup to see what our Steelers can, if they can. It's number one. I think the Steelers are still number one rush defense. And Derrick Henry is leading in yards. But I had a thought even before, you could run all those yards. You could run 200, 180, whatever might run. You've still got to win the game. So they came close with the Texans last week and they did a bit of a blunder. I really thought the Texans should have kicked that field goal and made it 8 points. How you don't put points on the board, I don't know. A lot of questionable calls with NFL coaches around the league. But yeah, Derrick Henry, I think, had 200 and something yards, two touchdowns, and he's a bit of a threat at the backfield as well. I'm not too sure who the blokes are behind him, but as long as we can shut down the run, and we've proven that with Tuitt, Cam, because these guys are hungry.
Well, that's right. And when Tomlin was asked about, you know, the backup at the Titans, he said, I don't know much about him. We haven't seen much of him because it's been Derrick Henry. And as you said, Mark, like, you know, 588 yards on 123 rushing attempts this year so far. He's got six TDs. they've played like they've played five games like the Steelers. Like he's averaging almost like 102 yards a game. So you know we just talked up Connor for getting three out of the last four with 100 yards per game. You know, Derrick Henry's doing it week in, week out, averaging a touchdown a game. The thing for me that's interesting though is like, you know, year in, year out, he breaks these really long runs for touchdowns. Like, you know, he's been in the league for five, you know, this is his fifth season in the league. And each season, apart from his rookie year, he's gone for more than 74 yards. Like he's had a long run rushing putt. Last two seasons, you've seen it specifically. So that becomes really important. However, I saw a really good stat when I was catching up on some Good Morning Football this week that basically talked about over the last 10 years, when the top running back goes up against one of the top two defenses in the league, they generally average under 70 yards. And for most of them, it's been under 30 yards. So Derrick Henry's got to try and break the stat rule here because he's going up against the second best run defense in the league in the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, you're right. We shut down Barkley, Kareem Hunt. So, I don't know too much about the Texans as we beat them a few weeks ago. But you can't give up 200 and something yards for Derrick Henry to do that. But he is their offense and then they play off him. So when he runs up the middle, Tannehill might do a fake and do, you know, turn around and play action pass. There's other fellas like AJ Brown. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting game. And this is the one where we have 5-0 versus 5-0. And this could be the true winner and the AFC leading, team. And then see if the Steelers, if they win again, will we get highlighted? They are a little bit, only joke, they are a little bit. But yeah, it's a fun game. Even for us, though, I thought this game might have been flexed, but I'm not too sure how the rules work. I thought, we still see it at 4 a.m. So before you go to work, it's going to be very interesting.
Well, yeah. And this said to you in the chat, and, when we were chatting before we went on air, and we'll go into a few of the key players that are going to be the difference makers and a few of the key matchups this week. To me, it's hard. I do want, to me, it doesn't necessarily feel like the Tennessee Titans are a true 5-0 team. Now, appreciate people sort of sitting there going, well, no, the Steelers are the ones that need to prove how good they are this week by actually beating, the Tennessee Titans, to prove their record. And, we've talked a little bit about the fact that the Steelers are only now getting the respect from the wider media and the NFL, starting to move up the power rankings, what have you. But, the reality is the Titans have beat the Broncos, they beat the Jags, and the Jags got pretty close. The Vikings got pretty close too. I mean, by saying that, they beat the Jags by 3 points. They beat the Vikings by 1 point. They only won by 6 points last week. The only team that they've really taken out is the Buffalo Bills, which are a very good team in their own right. I think they went into that game actually undefeated. I think they were one of the 3-0 teams, if I refer back to a previous show we did. So, but to me, I don't know. There's just something about it where I just don't feel that they've had to take on what the Steelers have had to take on. And when you look at the game that we had last week, we took on a team with a really good record.
Yeah, well, I understand that because I think was it the first game with the Denver Broncos that their kicker, I can't remember his name, it's quite a long one, they missed like 3 field goals and they just won. And Denver should have won that game. Like all these little different games and where Titans, even last week, the Texans were in a great position to win. And the Titans win. So this might be one where the 5-0 teams aren't as even. I know we've versed some teams that didn't have a winning record, but I'd like to bring up this point. I want to get your opinion on this. Like, what are your feelings on the Titans having about 35 days off rest during COVID?
Listeners, Mark's trying to absolutely roll me up, get so fired up. I'd be willing to tackle Derrick Henry. I think it is ridiculous. They didn't get to go to their facility and, the Steelers, didn't either. And they both had ample time to prepare for their games. But quite frankly, whilst I do want to see the Steelers play every game, because I do think they legitimately need to win every game they possibly can to get that respect as in the NFL. And, you know, Steelers fans have heard a lot about that this week, about the way we're being disrespected, the way Ben's disrespected and what have you. I do sort of feel they've got off scot-free for completely flouting the rules. Like, they affected, I think, Mark, you said to me, they might have affected 9 different fixture changes or what have you. Like, we all seem to, 2 weeks ago, it was like, what penalty are they going to give? And we're all debating whether it's draft picks or fines or whatever, you know, and would they play? And I do think it would have been different had they not been able to play that game against the Bills. I think it would have been a bit different. But what's the what's the penalty there? What message does that send to the rest of the league? So yeah, it does frustrate me. Like, and I heard in one of the different reports on NFL Network, they were saying, oh, well, you know, the Titans players were saying, oh, we got brought closer together because we didn't have access to facilities and massages and, you know, all the sports medicine and whatever. I'm like, you all blatantly chose to break the rules. Don't come out crying. Like, I mean, to me, it's like the Myles Garrett, you know, and I know it's a very different issue, but it's like, oh no, he said something racist after the fact. Like, don't come crying poor and crying and playing the victim. If that's your attitude, well, good luck this week, because you will be feeling like a victim after a couple of quarters.
Exactly. And that's what's going to help for us Steelers, because we, you know, maybe it's a good thing we've been out of the news, not saying anything, not doing anything. We're just showing our force in our numbers, 5-0. And when those words were said about playing for Garrett, yeah, he's a great player. Awesome player. He got to bet Big Ben once, but, you know, the Titans this week, they had, I think it was a joke, just about 14 days off or something like that. Affect about 8 games. And
yeah, I think they had 2 walkthrough sessions in, I think it was either 14 or 16 days. So they had 2 walkthroughs where they're all in like COVID, you know, COVID safe kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's what we have to do this year. And this year was always going to be a weird and crazy year. And we all know that. And we, you know, we're lucky we have football. But, you know, maybe the Steelers just go, okay, you had time off and here's our big matchup, and let's go out and beat you. They're playing for Big Ben and vice versa. So, and they're playing for Cam, they're playing for Joe Hayden. These fellas, if they end of the year have a Super Bowl, it's going to be fantastic, because they've been great players for this organization.
Well, that's it. That's it. And look, you know, while I've just said this, I'm not, you know, too crash hot on the Tennessee Titans being a true 5-0 team. This week is going to be a very interesting matchup. A lot of people are saying this is a lot of Titans fans are saying that this is, all sources are saying this is the week that Jadeveon Clowney breaks out and has a, you know, really good performance. You know, Adoree Jackson, their very, very good cornerback, has been out all season with a knee injury. He even might be back this week, which would be a real difference in their secondary against such great wide receivers from the Steelers. But Jonnu Smith as well. And I wouldn't mind diving into a little bit about Jonnu Smith and where that means for the inside linebacker. But yeah, I think, Mark, you were quite interested in who they might have back this week.
Yeah. Who's Clowney going to go after? Is he going to go after Chooks? Or our O-line is doing such an incredible job. So we've got to keep, you know, like last week, keep Big Ben up.
100%. And this is where, you know, perhaps this is the week we see what we've sort of, I guess, you know, in talking about it, flirted with a couple of shows now, where it's, when are we going to see the classic Ben, you know, little dump off pass to the running back and what have you? And is this the week that a McFarlane starts to do a bit of that and you start to see a bit of catching? Or do we go to these sweeps so that it doesn't matter that Jadeveon's coming down after Ben, Claypool's running around the side, or Ray McLeod?
Even Ray Ray. If Ray Ray gets one down in Tennessee, that's going to be a party.
100%. 100%. But you know what strikes me, even as we just talked about it there? Yes, they brought Matt Canada in and they wanted to do some of these more cutesy sort of sweeps and switches and what have you. But it's no secret that we've come up against some teams traditionally strong in defense, and we've done this and we've put them off, and look how well we've gone. We're undefeated. Equally, the Titans are usually a team that known for quite a good defense. There are really good defensive players on that team. We've got that young bloke Simmons on the defensive line that's a really up-and-coming player. For all the Madden players out there, he does fit really nicely in. If you can't re-sign to it or you're struggling there, he's a nice one to bring in if you get a bit of cap space after a couple of seasons. But, you know, they've generally got a fairly good defense on the Titans. So you know, the creativity in our offense that we've shown throughout five games, I think will be really key this week.
Yeah. Do you think as well with, you know, Claypool, they're going to over adjust for Claypool now? Because it's one of those scenarios like last year when, you know, we had no Big Ben and the defense, you know, well, it doesn't matter. They can't pass it with Rudolph or Duck. You know, like they both had a go. But once Big Ben is behind center, it's like, you know, we got to look after Big Ben. So it's very similar now with Claypool becoming, in some Steeler fans' eyes, number one threat. For me, this year, personally, I don't really look into who I would see Juju as number one, but it doesn't overly matter. They're all playing team football, and it was a team win last week. But for the Titans, they have to now account for Claypool.
Yeah, like for me, it's not about who's number one. It's and I think this is the same with the players. It's not about who's number one in the receiving core. It's about are the Steelers number one? You know, like what gets them that win? Like, and you look at the spread, like in terms of receiving and like it, you know, their targets are so spread. Like put it this way, like Deontay has been targeted 26 times, according to Pro Football Reference. Juju has been targeted 28 times. Claypool's been targeted 24 times. James Washington's been targeted 26 times. Eric Ebron's been targeted 24 times. And then you've got sort of James Conner at 15 times and Vance at 8 and a few other people with a couple of, you know, handfuls of catches. But you look at that. When you talk about who's number one, if you include Ebron, we have five receivers that literally have less than three catches separate or three targets separating them.
You know what, Matty? I think we need to bring back AB. We need a selfish player in that mix. What are all these great numbers? What's going on? 20? Are you serious? I haven't seen these stats. I can't use the Google that well. 26 targets, and they're all. It depends what game plan they have. That's fantastic to hear. That's the reason why we're 5-0.
But even the spread, right? You talk about game planning, right? Let's just take Claypool, Deontay, Juju, and Washington, right? Claypool 17 receptions, 335 yards. Deontay, 15 receptions, 147. Juju, 23 receptions, 194. James Washington, 17 receptions, 185. Like, the reception level, like, you literally got three players, one with 15 and then two with 17. They're all averaging about roughly around 150 yards or over. And then, obviously, Claypool stand out from a few long plays. But, like, that. There's just this spread. And when I look at the Tennessee Titans, yes, they've got a good secondary in that you've got like a Malcolm Butler. You know, we saw what he did when he was the Patriots. You know, Kenny Vaccaro's not a bad strong safety. You know, as I said, if they took Christian Fulton, they've got Christian Fulton there who's young, but I think he was potentially taking the first or second round. I think it was the first round off the top of my head. You know, if they get a Dory Jackson back, that's going to be interesting. But again, how are you going to mark up on the spread? You've got no idea who's going to get the ball from the Steelers.
Yeah, it just means as well that Big Ben is communicating well and he's showing his real veteran presence. And that's what you need for these young fellas that are in receivers. I feel like Juju is like the second oldest, or he's like 24. I don't know who's the oldest, but they're all young fellas and they're all having a go. And this is something that the Steelers as a franchise need this bit of a boot. To get us all awoken and start playing again, because we haven't had that opportunity where Big Ben has to come out and lead the game, and which is fantastic. We might need that in the future, maybe versus Ravens or someone like that. But you know, spread this ball around and Ebron's having a dig and McDonald as well. It's really fun to watch, because even last week with Washington, I didn't know he was going to come out and play such great football.
Yeah, exactly. And like, he had that awesome touchdown and I feel like he's, you know, starting to prove his worth and Ben's starting to get used to him. I mean, age is there for you, Mark. Claypool 22, Deontay 24, Juju 24, James Washington 24. Like, how young are they? Like, and just for the rest of the offense, you know, James Conner's 25, Benny Snell's 22 and Eric Ebron's 27. Like, you know, Ray Ray's 24 as well. Like, we've got this really young cohort. Like, yeah.
It's like they're, you know, at university, but University of Pittsburgh Steelers, like, this is pretty cool. You know, we're all around the same age and they all want to, they feed off, you know, when you're a young buck, you kind of feed off that energy, don't you? When you're around some other blokes and mates and whatever, you want that competitive drive, but you want it for your team. So when you're pushing forward and you're going, you know, over the top,
But I wouldn't, but that's it, Mark. And I wouldn't trivialize that for all you Steelers fans out there, because whilst we say Big Ben came back to help, you know, Pouncey, Haywood, Hayden get a Super Bowl, right now you've got players that really can't do anything because they need to be, you know, very clear about COVID restrictions and quarantining. They can't do anything really about outside of going to practice, being at home with their family. Like their activities are very limited. You see the team vibe on the sidelines. To see a young cohort that are all about the same age, I'm not going to say that they're all best, they're necessarily best mates outside of, you know, outside of the team or anything like it. But if you've got guys of a like-minded attitude, a like-minded age that get on, that are for the team, I wouldn't trivialize how important that is in terms of maturity that they're showing, yeah, which is helping the older guys hopefully get that ring that they're looking for.
Well, you can put it into you know, a physical aspect as well. You can see it in their blocking. I think the blocking has really improved on the receivers and the tight ends in this in the running game and in the receiving game as well. When Claypool's on, does a reverse or something like that, there's some good blocking, hat on a hat. And, you know, like, I just wanted to bring it up again. We're playing good team football, and it feels really fun to watch. Like these fellas are going down the sidelines and pushing the other fellow, and Juju's doing blocks where he's got his back on him, his hands out. They know what is for stake, and they're going to keep grinding. And, you know, what better way as a team unit and young fellas to build around this team?
Well, that's it. And the reality too, there are a lot of guys that have a great career that don't win a Super Bowl. If they can get a Super Bowl this year, they've got a lot of time to get pad the stats and do all that individual stuff later on, you know. So I don't think that it's lost on anyone. I mean, even you take Juju, for example, people go, oh, he's, you know, been really good this year and being a great teammate and, you know, not being selfish. He might not be with the Steelers next year. And if a team offers him a truckload of cash and they're an average team, he knows he might not be getting a chance at a Super Bowl ever again or till later in his career. So that, like, it's no surprise. I just like that he's got the maturity to sit there and go, you know what, I'm going to share it around and try and get that Super Bowl, and I'm going to have faith that the team are going to use me and I can contribute. But look, Mark, let's go into a couple of players. Is there a player on the Titans that you think the Steelers need to be? I mean, we talked a lot about Derrick Henry, but anyone else that you think that the Steelers need to really, really game plan for this week on offense or defense?
Well, I think that's, for me personally, that's the only person I really know is Derrick Henry, but I do know another bloke as well. You got to look after AJ Brown, because that affects with Henry. So if you take up Henry 8 in the box and shut him down, then you've got that reverse with Tannehill, and you got to watch out for Brown. And he's a big thrower as well, and he's trying to come into his own. And then there's nothing more than this Titans 5-0 team want to prove to beat the Steelers. So he's going to be one to look out for.
Agree with you completely. And Tomlin referenced him and Metcalf as these freak shows that came out of Ole Miss in the press conference this week. I agree with you in terms of how the Steelers are going to match up on offense outside Derrick Henry, in terms of how the Steelers are going to tackle the Titans offense. For me, it's Jonnu Smith. We mentioned him when you brought up Darren Waller, you know, several weeks ago. And he's someone that, you know, Madden players out there go after him. He fits slots right in on the Steelers behind Eric Ebron. He's a good one if you need to get rid of a cap space from McDonald. But Jonnu Smith, you know, he's having a real red crack hot this week, red hot go. I think he has had a couple of niggling injury problems potentially, but like, he comes into this game with 19 receptions, 234 yards, 5 touchdowns. And given where we talked about the Devin Bush, yeah, as I said to you, Mark, when you brought up Darren Waller that week, I was like, people don't sleep on Jonnu Smith. Yeah. And I heard an interview with him as well on Good Morning Football, I think it was. And you know, he came across a really great guy, to be honest. Like, one day, you know, when Ebron moves on, he might run for his job because he does really come across as a good guy. But and he's obviously performing this season. But I wouldn't trivialize the 5 touchdowns, because he's the leading receiver when it comes to touchdowns and yardage from a receiving perspective for the Tennessee Titans so far. And with no Devin Bush this week, how we cover him will become very important.
That's very interesting, because if we have Robert Payne Spillane coming in down the box and hitting Henry hard, then you've got Jonnu Smith on the play action pass. Yeah. So I think that, and they do, I've watched Tannehill. I've watched Tannehill for a long time. He does. He was awful, or he did have a bad go on Miami, but he does a play action pass really well, and he wants to have a crack. And yeah, if he's got five touchdowns, that's like, was that one a game or one every?
Yeah, one a game.
Yeah, so you know, and I don't. I'm not a coach. I stick to my Steelers, but that's interesting if we can, because Derrick Henry is a focal point of this game. And then what happens? What's the second level? What happens after that? And we are missing Bush, and we've got two thumpers in Vinnie Williams and Spillane now. So that middle of the field might be vacant for you know, a crossover or something like that. And maybe Mink can come down the box and like he did against Baker.
And I think you'll see a bit of Edmonds there as well. But I agree. I think this might be one of those weeks you start seeing a bit more Swiss Army knife sort of play from Minka. But yeah, it will be an interesting one to watch. But Mark, how about on the Steelers side of things? What do we need to do? Is there a player or is there a unit that needs to step up? Or what do the Steelers need to do to take out this game and go, believe it or not, 6-0?
Do you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see actually the receivers, you know, get involved again and see who's going to get the football. I know we have Connor running really well in the 100-yard games, but is this a game where we control the clock? I'm not too sure. Maybe it's one of the games where we just got to punch him in the mouth and say, hey, Juju, let's get on a slant and go 40 yards here. Hey, Washington, up the sideline, Claypool, you know, do a dig route and all these different kind of things. So maybe Big Ben takes control of this game. I had a thought this week, like, do you remember the times when the Steelers used to go for 2 points and make it an 8-point game? Wouldn't that be a great thing to do if we got the ball first and we haven't scored a touchdown for a long time? But go score a touchdown in the first possession, 8 points on the board, and let's change the whole game.
Mark, we are singing from the same song sheet, mate. I definitely think a key in this game would be definitely something around an 8-point touchdown, giving that 2-point conversion. Agree with you. Kind of think we could have done that a few more times and earlier in the season, seeing what worked, see what didn't, because I think it will become crucial down the stretch, because you only need a couple of them if you scoring a few touchdowns, if it's a high scoring game, and suddenly the other team has to kick a field goal to, you know, catch up to you, you know, or get ahead of you there. So like that would have been very helpful last week, for instance, in the Titans game for them. But yeah, you've hit it on the head, exactly where I'm sort of thinking as well. I think the biggest thing the Steelers need to do, we saw possession time up last week. I think they got it. I think it was roughly about 35 minutes off the top of my head, just over. They need to do the same this week, because it's kind of like in this week, it's the best defense is offense. Get the ball away from Tannehill and Henry. And the best way to do that is to have it in your hands. In a lot of other sports, there's a saying, when you've got the ball, the other team can't score. Yeah. In the NFL, it's different if you've got Baker Mayfield sitting out the back there or Daniel Jones last year. But I do honestly think that, and this is where I say, is this the week that we start to see a lot more of Ben sort of dink and dime, little ball here to Connor, little ball there to McFarlane, Jalen Samuels or screen, which hasn't really worked to date. And that could mean he potentially might be on the chopping block. End of season or at trade deadline time. But that's it exactly, is how the Steelers are going to use the clock. And as I said to you, you know, before we went on air, put up the points. Make Tannehill chase the game. Because if you've got Tannehill having to throw deep to chase the game, get him into the third and long situations. Like we saw last week, the difference that the Steelers have made in the progress there. But make them throw it long. Let them get picked off by Minka, potentially Edmonds, 100%. Hayden, Nelson. Like, force them into situations where they either by scoring lots of points, as you said there with 8-point touchdowns, or putting them in a position where they're either chasing the lead or they don't have much time on the clock to go after whatever lead you've got. Force Tannehill to throw. We might see the Tannehill of old.
Yeah, that's when our defense is really good as well, like you said. So if we have Tannehill chasing 10 points and he's throwing here, there and everywhere, and we've got, you know, Minka, you know, got the dust off his shoulders, and what a brilliant play. And you know, and it's so, you know, we could have changed the show into ripping on Baker, you know, throwing duck eggs everywhere. But yeah, the Titans with Tannehill, he's got a breath of fresh air in Tennessee, and they're doing well. But this is one of those games where it's like pretty much it's game of the year for the Steelers fans now. So and we could say that every week coming to the Ravens, but this really feels big. So if we can take care of Derrick Henry and then they're chasing points and Tannehill's thrown deep and he gets picked off, it's going to change the whole game. And it's going to be fun to see Big Ben and the receivers. Every week they're getting better and better and better and better and better. I think that was five times. Steelers 5-0. Here we go.
That's it, mate. That's it. Completely agree. And look, the win this week, imagine the confidence that gives you going into the Ravens game as well. That absolutely awesome confidence. So, look, that wraps up our preview of this week's game against the Tennessee Titans. You've heard about who needs to step up in terms of steals, who needs to play big. You've heard about the players that need to be big that we need to make fall as well. Mark, as always, slinging the slang. This week, I thought I'd give an explanation for a word that we've used a little bit, which might have had a few fans Googling, or if this is the first time you've listened to Steelers Touchdown Under, we use the word larrikin a lot, you know? And you're probably sitting there going, what is a larrikin? Like, obviously someone likes a laugh kind of thing, which sort of makes sense. But a bit of a prankster, a larrikin, someone who, as I said there, likes to have a laugh. You know, someone that's prepared to make a bit of a fool of himself, you know, class clown, but, you know, in a really, you know, light touch way as well. You know, and that's very much the theme that Mark and I bring into each and every one of these Steelers Touchdown Under. It's two Aussie mates, two Aussie blokes, two larrikins come together and have an honest, solid chat. Love a bit of a laugh.
Just having a laugh.
That's it. Probably some of the best laughs we have listeners miss out on either before or after the show. But yeah, look, that's the word for me for this week. But Mark, have you got something for the listeners?
We should do a show called Steelers Touchdown Under on Cat. Wouldn't that be interesting? Okay. I'm going to go off your one this week. I'm going to go off, you know, to be a larrikin. I'm going to put this out to the Steelers Nation Global. You know, all you guys who listen to us all over the world. Maybe this week you can be a larrikin. And if you have any Titans fans, I want you to teach a Titans fan a word. And this word this week is going to be bugger. Because they're going to be saying bugger 50 times. Every time Robert Payne Spillane comes down in the box with Vincenzo Williams and Derrick Henry gets -2 yards, the Titans fans are going to say bugger. And that basically means, damn, like, why? That's bad. Or I don't want to swear on air and I haven't just yet, which is quite thankful. But yeah, it's not a good term and not a good feeling. So we say that when we stub our toe, on the corner of a cabinet, or we hammer our thumb by accident. So if you have any Titans fans, just introduce them to that word bugger.
And yeah, just to build on that, Mark, like buggered as well, tired, broken. That's what the Tennessee Titans are going to be after this week's matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's what Baker was as well. He's buggered. He left the third quarter. Odell took his shoes off. They were buggered.
Mate, he was cactus. He was cooked, burnt. You know, that's what happens when you get left in the oven, which is the Steelers' defensive line too long. But look, before we wrap up the show, as always, our punts of the week, our big bets in terms of predicting a key performance or a key result coming out of the week. Mark, you still lead 3-2 on that one. We both got duck eggs last week. The kicker for the Browns didn't miss any field goals. He only had to kick an extra point because they didn't do anything else. And Terrell Edmonds didn't get a fumble recovery for a touchdown. So, do you have a big punt for the week for the listeners?
Yeah, I certainly do. I've got the Steelers are going to be the only team that's undefeated. So we're going to have some help from the Cardinals and Murray, and they're going to take care of business versus the Seahawks. And then we're going to have the Steelers undefeated at 6-0. Once they beat the Tennessee Titans. And yeah, that's going to be fantastic. And once there's a thing on Facebook, I think that Fox Sports always puts up, and you know, the remaining team's undefeated, and it's going to be a solo Steelers logo sitting right there. What's yours, Matty?
Well, look, I'd like to go with the fact that Dustin Colquitt will not be the Steelers punter by week 9. And our man Jordan Berry had a tryout this week again. And, you know, it was funny. We had that chat with Bad about it. And, you know, we talked about punting a little bit there and, you know, Colquitt might be a bit more reliable, what have you. But my punt for this week is, I think Minka backs it up again. And I think there's a, he forces a takeaway. I don't, whether it's a forced fumble or an interception, I'm not going to make that call, but he planks a game-changing play on defense, changes the game for the Steelers.
Does he score a touchdown?
No.
Fair enough.
No. So that's what I'd like to see. But I do think, you know, this is the sort of game where you might see a big hit from him onto like a Jonnu Smith, for example, or a pick there, like, you know, kind of what he did against the Colts last year in the end zone. That's the sort of stuff you might sort of see out of him. So, yeah, he'll come back this week. Last week was a start of a stretch. Last week was a working him in and letting him do a bit of his free roam. I love the way, like, you had to look at it on camera a million times on the slant and the way he came around because he wasn't actually marking up. You read Baker. I just see it this week. But look, listeners, massive week this week. Massive game tomorrow against the Tennessee Titans. Thank you for sticking with us into part two of Steelers Touchdown Under. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Look, if you've missed anything, you're wondering what you're going to be doing today on a Saturday or even tomorrow before the game, you want to get hyped, there's a plethora of content at behindthesteelcurtain.com. There's great shows from this week. The Titans guys on Know Your Enemy are really, really great. So join Michael Beck and Jeffrey Benedict there. Go back and listen to the Sco Bros. They're big fans of ours. We're big fans of them. Love their show. Dave Stat Geeks, Jeff's Let's Ride. You know, Tony Duffio follows our show. Go have a listen to him as well. But look, thank you for joining us. We hope to join you live on air next week when the Steelers are 6-0. Come on, Steelers. Bring it home.
Go, Steelers.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.